Hey, let's try to settle down so we can pick up here again. Thank you for your cooperation in breaking up into the groups and doing the exercise that we shared with you. Because I was so impressed with the idea that Dan came up with, I thought I would also show you what it has done for me over 37 years. Considering that at one time I took the Dale Carnegie course in how to win friends and influence people, they thought that I had written the book How to Lose Friends and Antagonize People. I walked up to a guy at the first break, and I, as men do, you know, I said, hi there, what do you do when you're not at a Dale Carnegie course? He says, I'm a doctor. I says, oh really, what kind? He says, an MD. I says, oh, you're one of those assholes that thinks you're God on earth and charges an awful lot of money for doing very little most of the time. So he looked at me and he said, Ray, you're the most antagonistic son of a bitch I've ever met, and if I never see you again, it'll be too soon. But the problem was, is I was unhappy with myself, and I figured that maybe I could gain ground by throwing dirt, and I kept sinking lower all the time. So that didn't work. Anyway, I can tell you today that the situation is at least, I'm not good at math, so what is it? What's the opposite side? Is that 180?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's 180 degrees difference. And what I really hope when I get home is I can say, gee, I hope I did as good a job for my half of it as I wanted to do, to create the situation as I have it in my life, because I truly live happy, joyous, and free. So I drew out the circle or the spokes or the wheel, whatever you want to call it, and I put food in the middle here, and then I overrode everything with God, because obviously food was no longer the center of my universe. It was God that was the center of my universe. So then I wrote out some spokes here, and I put out one for health, I put one for family, I put one for finances, I put one for relationships, and I put one for everything else. And then I drew the up and down lines that can indicate the highs and lows of my daily living. And it turns out that looking at it, that my daily living is handled by the problem, by the promises, by the serenity prayer, by the steps, by the things that I do on a daily basis, has eliminated the highs and the lows. I used to be real high when I got something that I wanted, not whether I needed it or not, but something that I wanted there, and real low when I didn't get something that I wanted or needed. And in looking at these, I said, well, what's my situation with finances since I don't have an earned income? And my situation is that it's all unearned income. And as I say I bought the big book when I said financial insecurity would disappear, and of course it doesn't say that. It says that the fear of financial insecurity will leave us, and the fear of financial insecurity has left us there. Family, I am a rich man. I'm not wealthy, but I'm rich. I'm rich in the fact that I married the same woman for 55 years. We dated for 3 years. That's dated, D-A-T-E-D, not S-L-E-P-T. There, I have four healthy children. I got 10 grandchildren. I got one great-grandchild and great-grandson, and a great-granddaughter is now cooking in the oven, so that's where I'm at there. And all the family is in good shape, so I'm grateful for that. The outside relationships, I always wanted to be what I felt was at least important enough for people to at least say hello to me, because being the most antagonistic son of a bitch that ever lived, nobody would talk to me or even look at me. Now, whenever I go any place, whether I walk in the bank, and I'm a very, very small depositor at the bank, but it's always a nice greeting. They know me by name. I go into the grocery market, there's always a special greeting. Wherever I go and whatever I do, I'm acknowledged for who I am. And the reason for that is all because I'm practicing these principles in all my affairs. I am no better than anybody out there, and I am no worse off than anybody out there. I'm just another one of God's kids. So all of that is working, and I am hoping that hope, you know, that's hanging on, praying expectantly. Yeah, there's a lot of them. I got a thousand more acronyms that I'll use. I see a smiley in there. But I do that because I compartmentalize my thinking. You know, when I was in grammar school, you used to walk in and you hung your coat on one hook, you put your lunch in one place, you put your books in another place, whatever it was, you put your umbrella in another place, etc. And you compartmentalized everything there. Well, this is the way I run my life. I compartmentalize it so that I don't get confused, and God has an easier time finding out where I am. So I wanted to share that with you and show you that I'm talking about this great, fantastic wheel that Dan came up with and the advantages of it. And I wanted to be sure that I'm walking the walk before I'm talking the talk. So we're going to be interested in seeing your wheels and how we can together, working together, not tell you how to change your life, but to share with you our experience, strength, and hope on the challenges. And that's what they are. They're not problems, because problems are nothing more than stumbling blocks, and stumbling blocks are nothing more than stepping stones. So if we look at it in the positive there, we do like that song says, you accentuate the positive, you eliminate the negative, you latch on to the affirmative, and you don't fuck with anything in between. Okay? So with that thought in mind, guys, you're up, and I'll sit down. And Dan, you want to pick up here, please?
Thank you. I think God has a wonderful sense of humor in the sense that whether I snort or not, my roommate can't hear me. So I asked him this morning, how'd you sleep? He says, I slept wonderful. I said, oh, that's so cool. I'm a compulsive overeater. That means I don't deal with food normally. Normal people don't do that. And a few years ago, I bought a brand new bike. I upgraded it. And my then wife and I went riding around, and the wheels were a little more narrower than the hybrid that I had. And as we were going over this overpass on the freeway, there was a crevice on the road, and I didn't look very well, and the wheel got locked into that, and next thing you know, down I go. Holy cow. Well, as it is, I have a herniated disc and I have problems like that. I scraped both my knees and my elbow. Fortunately, I had a helmet. So I went to go see my doctor. I said, "Hey, doc, you're not going to believe what happened." And as he walked in, I'm wearing this gown that's up to my thighs. And he looks at me and says, "You look horrible. What happened to you?" I said, "Well, I fell from a bike." So he says, "Well, we took x-rays. You're okay. You're fine." He says, "Let me give you some Vicodin so you can sleep it." I said, "Okay, doc." So I took some Vicodin that night, and I told my then wife, I says, "You know what? I haven't had any dessert. Have we got anything?" She says, "Why don't you go look in the fridge?" So I went and looked in the fridge. Open the fridge, I'm looking, and I can't see anything. And then I see there's a jar of prunes. So I look at the jar and I open it up, smell it. It smells good. Reminds me of my childhood. So I took one and there was about six left. So I took another one. That's five. Well, that, if I leave five, well, that's an uneven number. That's not good. So I ate the five. So I ate a total of seven prunes. So I fell asleep, and around 1 o'clock in the morning, I hear this. And it's not my wife. I said, "Oh shit, that's not good." So I get up sore and dizzy because of the Vicodin. I make it to the bathroom. And I said, "Oh my God." I said, and I couldn't stop shitting. So I'm on the can and I'm like dozing. I said, "Oh, so I better go." So I went back. No sooner I would go back to sleep. What's the lesson on that one? Well, the lesson is you don't mix Vicodin and prunes. See, normal people don't do this shit. Compulsive overeaters do this stuff. So I have an abnormal way of how I work my medication and prunes. Since then, I don't do that anymore. Stop. So I learned my lesson the hard way. And that's been my life, basically like that. People say, "You know, you shouldn't do that," and I'll say, "Yes, I can." So, having said that, when I drew my wheel and I put down all the spokes that I had, I realized that those are very important, dear things to me, and I need them in my life. The problem is that when I was at the center of that wheel, it was dominated by chaos, unpredictability, and confusion. That's how that wheel functioned. And you never knew where it was going to land for me. Whether we were going to have a day of chaos, a day of confusion, or unpredictability. So it had its enormous ups and downs. And you know what? Recovery teaches me that I need to change. Not that I need to eliminate those spokes, but I need to change myself and move out of that center and replace it with something that's more stable. Something that's really going to be there when I need it. So that is a step that I need to remember, because what happens is I have this ungodly compulsion to want to fix and control everything and get back into that center of the wheel. You know, I don't know why, but I just feel I got a better idea. So my disease reminds me that, look, this is not good. Back off. So having said that, my sponsor told me, says, "Don't believe everything you think." Because I tend to do that. I believe everything I think. Says, "Oh, everything you think, make sure you run it by someone." So with that, I've learned that it's okay to say, "You may be right, And I've also learned to say, okay. Throughout all these experiences that I've gone through, I've become more teachable. At my older age now. Now, I should be one standing up here saying, I know it all, I've got it all together, but I really don't. I got it together just today, one day at a time. It's a new beginning for me today, one day at a time. It's a new significance. I never lived like that before. I was always ahead or in the back. So one day at a time means a lot for me. You know that there's a beautiful day that's been given to us today, and it's a gorgeous day. I have made connections with people. I've reconnected with people. I've enjoyed their company. I've laughed with them, or I've talked with them. And it's beautiful to live like that. Now, I need to know exactly what God has in plan for me today. So I've written down the areas in my life that are causing troubles and worries. I've written that part down. And now I look back at my wheel. Most of you guys called it a donut. Fine. Call it what you want. Pizza. A bagel. Fine, here we go. So anyway, so these are the things that we need to look. My list of problems that I have that are constantly in my head and the wheel that I have. Those are very important. So having those two things here, what do we do now? What do we do now? We need to understand that, first of all, one of the most valuable things that God has given us is serenity. Now, serenity for me is really the absence of chaos and disturbances. You know, it's having the capacity to be comfortable with myself today and being serene. Not being sleeping, I'm not talking about sleeping, but just being comfortable in the now. I'm comfortable where I'm at right now. But my serenity is really proportional to my expectations. So, and it says that in the big book, the higher my expectations, the lower my serenity. The higher my serenity, the lower my expectations. And I hate that because that's too damn simple. I want complications. You know? So like I heard one guy say, he talked to his sponsor, he says, you know, my wife did this and this and this and this and this. And his sponsor says, well, why don't you put it away for a couple of days and then we'll talk about it. He says, well, if I put it away for a couple of days, I'll forget about it. Precisely. I've learned that sometimes things just don't matter. It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Three things we need to focus on today. What am I eating about? Who am I eating for? And do I really accept my disease? You know, a lot of us are eating for other people. And a lot of us are eating, don't even know what we're eating about. So hopefully that list that you wrote down could be some of the reasons. So we'll leave it up to you guys right now, and we'll get into the rest of it later on. But this is the stuff we need to look at. Because remember, shared misery lessens, and shared joy multiplies. And this is a we program, not an I. Okay, so we'll open it up for you guys.
Would you just repeat those last three things?
What am I eating about? Who am I eating for? And do I accept my disease rather than admit my disease? And don't ever ask me again because I usually forget everything I say. It's funny, I draw a blank. So anyway, that's where we're at today, you know, and there's no perfection in this, believe me. You do not have to be right or wrong, but just speak feelings. When I was overeating, I never felt anything. I was just numb. You know, I never knew what the hell I felt. And now that I've lost all this weight, I feel a lot. You know. So we need to understand what our lists is all about and what our wheel is all about as well. Don't confuse both of them. So with that, we'll leave it open to the guys who want to come up and share on their list. Come on down.
Hi, I'm Brian, a compulsive overeater. And first of all, I just want to say that I just really love this exercise. This is a, and I'm usually not one to really buy into something, but this one just really spoke to me. So either it's the right time of the morning in combination with the amount of caffeine I've had or whatever. But and also the things that I like to read about my list are also kind of a culmination of what we did in our group work. We just kind of went around the group and each of us read our wheels, and I pretty much stole a bunch of other things. But we also came with a great question: what should not be a spoke on our list? And so maybe that might be challenging. But for me right now, the strongest part of my wheel, being the center, is a combination of three things: God, OA, and the tools. Because when there's something that goes wrong on one of the spokes, when one of my spokes hits the hits a ditch, then I either pray about it, I take it to a meeting, or I go to the tools. Those seem to be the things that are always going to be strong for me. And sometimes I do all three, sometimes I do one, or sometimes I do a combination. But the spokes that I'm dealing with right now are sex or relationships, entertainment, health, motivation, learning, place of residence, career, spirituality, self-esteem, friends, car, goals, finances, and family. Those are all kind of spokes on my wheel. And the issues that are most in jeopardy right now for me of those spokes are motivation and career. That's what's in the shitter right now. And at times in my life, it's been other things. At one point in time, I was living in, I'm a California boy, and I was living in Michigan. And I don't know if any of you had to do time there, but it's nice. It was pretty much 9 months of winter. And I had a great career, I had a great job, I had a great car, and everything was going well in my life. But my place of residence was in the shitter, and so I brought that back to my program and God, and I got through it. I don't know if I got through it the best of the ways, but I got through it through the form of what was strongest in the center. Anyway, that's what I came up with. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Angel, compulsive overeater. Group two, we came with the general consensus as follows. Our number one concern, health issues and medication. Our number two concern, aging. Number three, relationships, marriage, family and children. And then, interesting enough, number four, we place God. And it seems like within the group itself, we kind of all spoke about the fact that in some of us in the group, definitely, our focus and our goal is to get God moved up from number four to number one. So that's what we came up with group two. Thank you very much.
Good morning again, guys. My name is Hank. I'm a grateful, abstaining, compulsive overeater. And I'm representing group three. And it's amazing how God works. I sort of wanted to take a back seat today, and I got pulled into being secretary or whatever, note taker. And it's amazing. Our group, we have somebody who has over 20 years of abstinence and somebody who is at his first OA function. That was the range of people, of experience, strength, and hope that we carried, and got something out of each of them. Basically, what was, I think, the most important thing or the most prevalent thing in our group was fear of financial insecurity in different realms. You know, whether it's dealing with the government and taxes, the government with health benefits for aging parents or whatever. Those were one of the, I think that was the main thing, health, you know, there. And there was a lot of gratitude for the program that shows that we don't have to do it by ourselves, and that's the basic thing. I don't think we spoke more about the spokes than the center of it, if my recollection is correct. We didn't say that it has to be God, or, you know, and you know, there are no has, or a lot of musts in the program, and no shoulds, but musts, and I think there's a difference there. And Yeah, and a little bit of family stuff. It's all correlated. One goes down and something else pops up. So that was basically it. Members of the group, did I leave anything out? Fabulous. I did a great job. Thank you, guys.
Dave Capelso, reader. Well, I don't think we really prioritize these four things, but I think I heard a lot of health was probably one of the biggest things, and then relationships and family, retirement, and financial insecurity.
I'm Mark, a compulsive overeater, and our group, each of us took a little time to do some writing on two of the spokes from our wheels, and there was definitely a common theme around two areas, mainly. One is family dynamics, and with family dynamics, there were talks about the intimate relationship with the spouse, and about children, and about in-laws, and how all these family issues. Someone talked about is my spouse my higher power, and how we can hurt ourselves over these family concerns. Another area is health, of course, and with health, you know, there was a talk about how critical it is to do something to take care of our bodies now. It's not like, you know, when I'm 65 or when I'm, that's when I'll do it. I mean, there's definitely an urgency now because, and it's intertwined with being good for our families and for our relationships. So those are two areas. And then when it came to like financial matters, sometimes we start not thinking as much as about ourselves and taking care of ourselves, and we get caught up in other areas. So those are some of the things that we had discussed. Thanks.
Is there anyone that would like to share individually? Anyone? Come on up.
I'm Jim, a compulsive overeater.
Hey,
you know, something that popped into my head, I hadn't really thought about when we were discussing our stuff. I'm in group four. I retired a year and a half ago, and that has really been a life change, but for the good. And I realize when I was working, I just did not have time to exercise and to really do what was necessary for my own health. And as soon as I retired, one of the things I said to myself was, I'm going to go to gym. I'm going to work out. And what I realized was I took all that energy from working and now have focused it on myself. And I go to gym 6 days a week and took off 20 pounds. And the doctor says I'm healthier now than prior to retiring, and he looked at, you know, my records and everything like that. Blood pressure is normal, which was always elevated. But the point was that I took all this energy from working and now have shifted it into the right direction, which is myself. And I know a lot of guys, when I announced that I was retiring, and I would go to guys my age and say, you know, why aren't you retiring? And they said, what would I do? You know, they had nothing to do. They didn't have the ability, I think, to take that energy and focus it into something else. Luckily, thank God, I've always been a hobby kind of person, and I'm probably I got more to do now than I did before. But the important thing is that I've been able to shift that same amount of energy into myself now, which I wasn't able to before. I tried in those days to work out. January 1st, you know, at Boeing we have a gym there. I could go for free. I'd go and then I'd get, you know, I have to take a long extended lunch, and it just never worked out. So that's a real positive thing for myself over the last year and a half. And it was because of the talking during our group thing that I realized that same energy now is towards me. And I've kind of earned it. I was talking to my son. I've worked for 37 years, went to college for 10 years, and 47 years, and I've earned this right. And one last thing I have to say. 6 months after retiring, I said, you know, to my wife, I'm having more fun now than when I was a kid. And it took all this time, and I really feel like I've earned it. And that's the thing. But it's been a year and a half, and I still don't have it really realized that I can do anything I want to do when I want to do it. I'm so focused, like I'm an A personality. If I want to see a movie and go to a matinee, it's okay to take 2.5 hours out and go to a goddamn matinee. And it's a fantastic feeling. So, thank you.
Anyone else would like to hear?
Anybody else? Yes, come on.
Contrary.
My name is Armando, compulsive overeater. And for me, as I reflected on what was in the center hub, I kind of revealed to myself what didn't at first come to mind, which is that, you know, I fancy myself to be someone who goes to church and has the God thing straightened out. But as I kind of thought it through, I thought, I really have, like, kind of drew for myself a circle of where I'm at, and it's like God is, I'm pretty much have over a year abstinence, so I've gotten more territory for God in this hub. But there's still a chunk there, and I would maybe make it like 10-20%, I guess, in my mind. I liken that to mean that for whatever reason I run on the ledge, I walk on the ledge of the precipice, and violate the food plan I have, which makes me feel great and works, you know, and you know, just a self-destructive thing. So I know that my goal is to make it all God, you know, and what I thought of when I said what I eat about, for me it was you know, when the marriage problems come up, the disputes, issues with the children of whether I'm being a good father, what, you know, how to handle conflict between my two girls, and then the third thing was the, you know, kind of anxiety over financial insecurity, and all these are a lot less intense now that I've been able to, you know, by the grace of God and this program, have abstinence, and have a food plan that works, and then for who I'm eating for, I think it's, I guess relating to that is like, when it happens, I guess, and I say that like I'm eating, I'm violating my food plan. For me, it's a better place to be than where I was before, but it is still for me serious because I know I can, you know, I'm a baby in this new life of being abstinent. Because I want to get to the point where it's not like I'm playing with fire. And I feel like I'm playing with fire when I violate the food plan, like it's, you know, it's my lifeline. So I feel I'm eating over, say, my wife, my daughter or daughters, if they, you know, I reach an intensity of anxiety over issues with them. Or the finances where I feel overwhelmed with the challenges. And do I accept my overeating as a disease? I guess when I think about it is, I think there's still some 20-10% that's not all, you know, the territory isn't fully taken, you know, the promised land isn't conquered yet, because Because why am I playing with fire? Why am I walking on the ledge? You know, so I can, it's. I want to get to the next level, and but one day at a time. I hope to do that. Thank you for letting me share.
Come on, guys.
Sam Capozzo over here.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. What I put as for number one is I put family, financial, work, health, and then career, and then goals. And basically what I'm struggling with right now, it's family. I'm having problems with relationship. And but it's interesting. Somebody said, you know, what is it that what will make you happy, say, in the long term? And that was something that I asked myself. I wasn't sure, so that's what I'm looking in here in this spiritual retreat. Another thing that I'm looking on my spoke, what I need to do is I basically get out of my head and basically plan a route. But if I have a route on my wheel, how it's going to be handling, I will be in a better place. What I focus right now, what I've been changing probably the last couple months is all these feelings that I have, and I thought that maybe in the center could be where those is feelings are probably in the center, or where does that fit in? So what I'm trying to say is once I have a basic think what I'm going to be thinking. And I do the planning. I don't think what happened yesterday or what's in the future. I have to live on today and try to make the best of it and stay out of my head. And it's just a 24-hour program. Just take one day at a time. And I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Anything
else? Well, I made some notes while I was listening here, and you guys did a really good job. And I saw some things here that I'd like to share on. Napoleon Hill said, anything that the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. One of the things I kept hearing was the fear of financial insecurity, and that was a big, big, big one with me. That was probably as on a par with fear. Of course, when I found the formula for getting rid of fear, which is in the 7th step and the 12 and 12, being chief activator of character defects is self-centered fear. So it told me how to get rid of self-centered fear. The financial insecurity picture changed when my attitude changed. My attitude, I found out, determined my altitude. The more dependent I become upon my higher power, God as I understand him, the coach, the more independent I become. And as soon as I got rid of the fear of financial insecurity, the picture changed. Now I'm sure that there are people who are listening to that and saying, yeah, I have heard stories like that before. But as I promised you before, I'll tell you only what really happened. And I had to let go of the fear of financial insecurity before the promises that the fear of financial insecurity would leave us. Another thing that seemed to come up quite a bit is relationships. And I share with you my formula for having a 55-year marriage with my wife, with 3 years of dating before that. Not sleeping, dating. And that is, I'm 100% responsible for 50% of the relationship. Whenever I use the word you, I'm out of line. I'm out of touch. You know, honey, the problem that you have is, or that you don't understand, is I got to stay in the first person singular, the I form. I feel bad when I am asked to take the garbage out during the Jeopardy program. I enjoy the program. I don't want to miss any of it. Rather than, you know, you always come up with some damn reason for me to take the trash out. It always happens to be during something that I really want to watch or something that I want to do. It's all in my attitude, which is determining my altitude. One other thing that I heard, health medications. As I told you with this thing that I have attached to my esophagus there, I have to take pills now and chop them in half, which is a real pain, but I can't swallow them otherwise. And since I choose to continue to take them, I chop them in half. And if that doesn't work, you can do all kinds of things. You can dissolve it in liquids, one thing or another. But to not do what the doctor tells me, in other words, if the doctor says, take this before bedtime, and I have pills that say take before bedtime, and I decided it would be a lot more convenient if I took them after dinner. Well, taking them after dinner and taking them before bedtime gives two different results there. So I now do what I am directed to do, not what I want to do. As Daniel said so well, when I think that I know the answer, I'm in trouble there. My best thinking has gotten me into the problem that I've had. And through the application of these steps, the application of the principles of this program, the application of the Serenity Prayer, the application of the promises, the applications of the steps there, the stairway that God gave us, I guarantee you, doesn't lead nowhere. Thanks for letting me share.
You said, if I heard correctly, that you have to let go of the fear. Well, in the seventh step, it says when you learn that we ask God to remove the fear. So are you letting go of the fear, or are you asking your higher power to take it away from you?
The formula in the book says that the chief activator of my character defects is self-centered fear. Primarily, fear that I'm going to lose something I already have, or I'm going to fail to get something that I demand. It tells me that living upon a basis of unsatisfied demands, I'm going to be in a continual state of disturbance or frustration, and no peace is to be had or found until I find the means for reducing those demands. And there is when I jump into God's lap again. Step one, I surrender. And surrender is to be held in check by a power greater than myself. And again, on page 45 of the big book, lack of power, that's our dilemma. So I need the power to carry out what God has for me. And the step, it says, step one is one of the ways. Step two is, of course, faith, which sees the invisible. Sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. That's what faith will do. And then, of course, trust, where I turn my will and my life over the care of God as I understand them. Always at the center point. Always at the apex. No matter where it is, no matter when it is, God is my source. It's my only source that I can count on. And the more dependent I become upon this higher power, no matter what the problem is, the more independent I will become. I hope that answers it. And thanks for letting me share.
As I was sitting there, I was thinking, we have a list of things that cause us, that we have problems with. And we have a wheel, that things that are very important to us. And we also have a center that we believe needs to be enhanced or replaced, whatever it is that's there. When I was at the center of the wheel of my spokes, all those were so hard to keep in check. I looked at it this way. It's like the guy that goes on stage and he's spinning the plates. And he's got about a dozen of these stupid things. No sooner he finishes at the end of them, he's got to go back and spin it again. That's what I found myself when I was at the center of this wheel. I was trying to spin these plates constantly, and it was really tiresome, and it gets tired. So to eliminate that, I put my wife in the center. You handle it. Well, that gets tiresome as well. So I have my list, and I have the wheel, and I realize that center that's going to be in there has to be really strong, has to be something I can really trust, and has to have a substance that will give me the feeling that I used to get with food. And that's called serenity. So this is very important. Now, in order for me to get to that point, I had to go and dig the scab that was healed. I had to go back and pick it. Because what was I eating for? Who am I eating? What am I eating about? Who am I eating for? Those two questions, I did not know how to answer. So what my fourth step had revealed, I had to go back and look at that scab and start picking it again and make it bleed. Because I wasn't through. I thought I was, but I wasn't. I had to go back. And step 10 does say that. Continue to take personal inventory. So we're going to pick at the scab today. And it's going to be really painful to go back to the thought that we had already fixed. And having the gunny sack, we need to dig in there and pull it out. So my question to you would be this. If you had the opportunity to say something to that special someone, what would you tell them? What would you tell them? What am I eating about? Who am I eating for? Those two questions. That special someone. I'll give you a story. I lived with my father as a child. And this was a very brutal man. Very violent. Very unpredictable. he would beat my mother, and when I was 3 years old, or four, and I would grab my little sister, who was about six, or not even a year old, and I would drag her with me under the bed, and we would go under there and cry. And we would hear all this violence happening. And we would find ourselves huddling and hugging each other. We were scared to death. As I grew up and I had more contact with my father, he would beat me as well. So as I got into drugs and alcohol and food and all that stuff, I found myself always arguing with him whenever I had a chance. And I would always be the first one to tell him, God damn it, if you hadn't done this shit to us, we wouldn't be always. And I never got an answer from him. And I was so pissed at him that he never said to me, I'm sorry how I fucked you up. And for years, I carried that gunny sack with him in there. And I thought, when I did my inventory, and I gave it away, that I had finished with him. And I just could not understand why every time I came up with him, those feelings would come up again. I had already said, I'm done with him on my paper. 2 or 3 years ago, I went to go see him. He lived in Ensenada, Mexico. That day, his younger brother had showed up, who I hadn't seen since I was a kid. So the three of us got together. I've been with my former wife. We went to go eat. I know he liked Chinese food, so I took him to go to Chinese food. Came back, and we're sitting out that night. Now, by then, he'd already had advanced stages of diabetes. He had lost his eyesight, and he was really going downhill. I felt still an uneasiness with him. But we sat there, and fortunately, we had food to distract us. As we were talking and laughing and reminiscing of our of older days, he gets up and he tells his young wife, he says, take me to my room. I said, well, he's probably tired, he's going to go to sleep. Fine. So he gets up and she walks into his room. He later comes out. And he comes up to me and he touches me on my shoulder. And he opens up my hand, and he places a couple of coins in it, and he closes it up. And he goes like this to me, and he walks away. And I opened them up, and they're two silver pesos. They were from 1890-something. And it's then that I understood that that was his way to tell me I'm sorry. And at that moment, I said to my heart, I said, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry I held such a grudge against you. And that moment, I said, God, please take this away from me. And at that moment, everything started to melt away from me. And I saw him exactly as my father. I accepted him exactly as he was. Not the way I had him before, always wanting him to be what I thought he should be. I accepted him exactly as the man he was at that moment. And that scab started to bleed. I started to cry. And I realized how many years I harbored all this resentment against this man. He passed away in December, and I didn't get a chance to see him. Now, I had every opportunity to get pissed off at my sister because she didn't notify me. But the truth is, God had given me the opportunity to make my amends with him. That's how my higher power works in my life. I don't understand it. But I do know one thing. He always gives me the opportunity to deal with that gunny sack and get it out of my way. So I can be free of this bondage stuff that I have. I saw this man with his children show up at this park. I'd gone cycling. And there must have been a half a dozen kids, no older than 10 years old. And the door is opened out of this minivan, and out comes all these kids running for the swings and the merry-go-round. And not one of those kids said, "Dad, can we eat before we play? Can we have a beer before we play?" They were ready to go have fun. And that spoke to me, because you know what? That's what God wants me to do today. But I need to be free of what I have in my gunny sack. And I can't do it unless I pick the scab again. You know what I mean? So this is what's happened to me. And I go back to, it's not the years in recovery, but it's the recovery in your years that's important here. So we have the list. We have the circle and the spokes. We have the three questions. What am I eating about? Who am I eating for? And do I accept my compulsive overeating? And now, who or what would I say to that special person if I had that opportunity? And we'll give you a chance to write about that stuff, because this is stuff that we're going to be very vulnerable about. Very vulnerable. And I'll leave it with that. Okay?
Made a couple more notes here. I heard about financial insecurity, and of course I heard about finances, etc. And we talk about credit cards. And I always used to pay the minimum on the credit card so that my credit stayed good. And decided that I love the idea of paying the credit card companies like 24% for the privilege of doing business with them. Until somebody said, "Do you know you're paying them 24% for the privilege of doing business with them?" I said, "No." They said, "Well, you are." So I said, "Okay, how do I get out from under?" The way to get out from under is little by little. The longest journey in the world begins with a single step. And that first step was to pay as much as I could on the credit card each and every time until I got out from under. And then to do one of two things: either cut it up so that I can't use it again, or else become disciplined enough to handle it. I have several credit cards in my wallet, and some of them have some pretty big balances on them, because we got off a vacation on the Italy and Greek Isles that we just got back from, and there is no outstanding balance on there. It's paid 10 days, no, I'm sorry, I cut it down to 7. It's now paid 7 days in advance of the date that it's due, because I use a tickler file. When I was in the insurance business, we used to set up a tickler file, and when that day came up. So I set up a tickler file, and when it's 7 days before the bill is due, I pay it through the internet there. And as a result, if I can't pay the whole bill, then I destroy the credit card. And for quite some time now, the credit cards are still been in my wallet, and they're still good. At one time, the credit was so bad that we had collection agencies calling us from every few minutes, it seemed like, asking for money, threatening us with bills, one thing or another. Until finally we said, this has got to stop. And today, our credit rating is exceptionally high. And it's because we were willing to pay the price. Just like on abstinence, where my food plan is to eat anything I want, in any quantity that I want, at any time of the day or night that I want. That's the first part of my food plan. The second part of it is, as long as I'm willing to pay the price. and for 37 years and one day, I haven't been willing to pay the price. One other thing, an equity loan. We have an equity loan. You know, when I took out the equity loan for X number of dollars, and let's just grab a number and say, for lack of easy figuring, say $100,000 for an equity loan. And if I pay on that equity loan just the payment that they asked me for a whole year, you know what the balance is at the end of that year? $100,000. It never goes down as long as I keep making the payments. So as a result, to help you, to help me there, what I had to do was pay some money on the principal. So I pay money on the principal every month. Now whether it's $5 or $50 or $500, it goes down every single month there. And as a result, an equity loan is wonderful. If you ever need to use it, you've got money there to use. And you don't have to qualify again and again and again for it. So it's all in believing that God can and will do for us what we've been unable to do for ourselves. As we say, are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, they will always materialize for us when we work for them. And again, the six W's, working will win while wishing won't. And thanks very much.
Has anybody come up with what are they eating about? Has anybody come up with that realization yet? What are you eating about? No? Who are you eating for? Come on up, Phil.
I'm Phil with